Faith Middleton, and this show is about the richness of life. We're going to talk about the calling for international work. Thanks for listening in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. We want to explore what inspires many Americans to volunteer or do paid work to make life better for people in other countries. This seems like an important question right now in the middle of our own election. In every election, candidates want to hammer home what needs fixing in America. Well, fair enough. But while that debate is being held at full volume, many U.S. citizens are focused on what needs fixing elsewhere on the globe. It's an interesting contrast, especially when you consider that many of the people being helped in other countries would love a chance to vote in a free election. We thought about this when we saw that our guest, Dr. Kinnery Webb, is scheduled to conduct grand rounds at Yale Medical School this Thursday morning. She'll be lecturing at Yale about her decision in 2005 to devote her energy to improving the health of people and forests in Indonesia. She's been at it ever since. One of her projects is Goats for Widows. To give a goat to a widow in the Indonesian rainforest is to substantially improve the land and that vulnerable family. By talking with Dr. Webb, Dr. Kathleen White, and Dr. Thomas Duffy of Yale, who've been on her board, we hope to unlock what it is that inspires some to answer the call of duty outside our own borders. Americans volunteer in war zones, in countries hit by Ebola, in small schools in remote mountain villages. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation directs much of its money to public health issues in other countries. What does this say about the world being a global village? Do we get this? Do our candidates who are running right this second understand this? Can they talk about it as much as they might like to? And in a little while, we're going to open the phones to hear why you work for projects outside America or lend your financial support. Dr. Kinnery Webb, Dr. White, Dr. Duffy, welcome to the show. So let me start with you, Kinnery. In light of the international work that you do, what are you thinking as you are watching our election unfolding right now?
Well, I've had the incredible privilege to live in Indonesia for the last 8 years, and I have been so impressed with that nation and how excited they are to have an emerging democracy. But one of the things that they think about a lot and they look at very intensely and they talk about a lot is corruption. And when, from an Indonesian perspective, having been seeped in that now for a long time, when I come back to the U.S., I hate to say it, but the corruption is really obvious here as well. You know, it's sad, but it looks to me like these elections are completely run by money. And that there's the concept of social justice, the concept of really looking at the well-being, not only of all the people within this nation, but the well-being of this planet, because the United States controls so much of what happens in the world. It's incredibly important that we understand how interconnected we are. And it makes me sad, honestly.
Dr. White and Dr. Duffy, what are you thinking as you're watching this election? Dr. Duffy?
Well, I must be frank that I'm apprehensive as to what the results are going to be. And my basis for that is that you have introduced the subject, and there might have been a suggestion that this is something which we do almost from the periphery of ourselves. I believe that this is an obligation rather than philanthropy, that the recent Ebola epidemic has pointed out all too dramatically and tragically that the borders of the world are totally porous. Mm-hmm. There are people like Peter Singer, philosopher at Princeton, Martha Nussbaum, who have written really compellingly as to the obligation that we in affluent nations have to assist to improving the lives of individuals in developing nations, that this is our responsibility to share our richness. My apprehension is that it seems to me the candidates that appear likely to be elected are turning inward rather than expansive and reaching out to the other nations of the world.
Dr. White, do you agree? Do you see it this way?
The way I see it, and it's a very pat phrase, but it's you know, think locally, act globally, or act globally, think locally. But I see it as every issue that is important today in the election, I hope that those who are going to win are going to think about what this little thing for their community, their congressional district, their state, how is it going to affect us as a country? How is it going to affect on the big picture, not just some small issue that the town wants for the town that's going to not be sustainable for the future of our generations?
I wonder if the candidates feel free to talk this way. I wonder to what extent they agree with you, no matter what side of the aisle, and how free they might be in this age of staying inside our borders. I think you were trying to get at that, Dr. Duffy.
Well, I suspect that very few of them have that freedom at this time. In looking at the interviews that have gone on in just the immediate last week, it seems to be the ubiquitous or omnipresent theme that individuals have to really answer to the local demands, and that even the national demands are being dismissed. To expand that to a global responsibility is almost beyond most people's imagination.
We're in a time where money is tight. We don't have enough jobs for people. Young people, especially young people of color, have the most serious unemployment rate. Things are getting better, but we see this going on, and we know that at times like this, our nation does begin to bubble with what you're hearing, Dr. Duffy. And yet people hanging on by their fingertips still, understandable that they're afraid.
But I believe that the model of health and harmony is, I must say, I so delight in the whole concept and the success of the project, which I believe its success is directly attributable to this charismatic individual in the room this afternoon, Dr. Kanari Webb. But to think that there is a project which evolved out of a college experience in visiting Indonesia to study orangutans, and then observing there and concluding that a more important role for her was to become a physician and to address the deplorable health conditions, and then what I call a remarkable conceit. And the remarkable conceit is, who would imagine that one would trade health care for commitments to not pillage the forest, that is, saving lives while saving the planets? But once it's pointed out to me, and of course once it's demonstrated by Kinnery that it can be done very successfully, one really chuckles. I mean, I really take great joy in the recognition of the splendid aspects of all of this. And I think these kind of lessons, that all of us respond in the same way to it, because the whole enterprise is inspiring and inspired.
Let me share this with you. Dr. Duffy is starting to touch on this. Kinnery Webb, I went online to research your organization, Health in Harmony, and I saw a picture of a young woman alongside a goat. And that's when I learned about your Goats for Widows project. Now, how does that help both the Indonesian rainforest and that woman?
Yeah. Well, it seems, healthcare, saving rainforests, giving goats, how could these things possibly be interconnected, right? But they are intensely interconnected. Imagine for a moment that you have a child who is sick, someone you adore and would do anything for. When your average income is $13 a month and you live in a place where, you know, there's very few options for getting money, and your rice field, the harvest will not come in for a few months, what are you going to do? And sadly, one of the few things that you can do is cut down rainforest in order to pay for health care. And what we found is that, like, a man I know in our village, Pat Sofian, he cut down 60 trees to pay for one operation. there's just very few sources of income to be able to access help for people. And so what's happened is that even though he understands that destroying the environment will also damage his own health, his own future health, but when you have very few choices, you know, you are willing to damage your future well-being for your short-term well-being. So when we first went out there, we said to people, we do what I call radical listening. We asked people. I know that sounds strange because it's not done very much.
Love that phrase.
In the development world.
Radical listening.
Yep. Yeah, radical listening.
We could use that phrase during an election. So you do radical listening, and what happens?
So we went to the communities and we said, look, you all are guardians of a precious rainforest that is valuable to the whole world. It's like the lungs of the earth, right? All these rainforests, they have so much carbon. They're so important for the health of this planet and so much biodiversity. There are 10% of the world's orangutans live in this national park where we work. And we said, you're guardians of this precious rainforest. What would you need in order to be able to protect it?
But this is interesting. I saw an article about you in my research, and you specifically said to them, how many or what kinds of thank yous?
Yes, that is the actual way it translates in Indonesian from English.
Would you need to stop cutting down the rainforest? And so what they was it their idea that they would trade health care?
Yes. They said without access to health care, we cannot protect the forest. We want to. 95% of the people we knew from a baseline survey wanted to protect the forest, but they couldn't. They said we need access to health care and we need training in organic farming. And I was like, what? Are you kidding me? That's really what you need? What do you mean? And they said, I mean, this is like radical listening, right? They knew what the fulcrums of change were. And the fulcrums of change were those things. And why the organic farming training? Because they said the traditional form of agriculture is slash and burn. We cut down rainforest, we plant a crop of rice, and then we have to keep moving. And that worked well when there were not very many people and lots of forest. But it doesn't work anymore. And we heard there was a way to plant in one place without expensive chemical fertilizers. Will you please teach us what it is? So this is the long story to get back to your question about the Goats for Widows. Because what happened then was that it was so successful and people were doing so well and all these people are stopping logging. After 5 years, we had a 68% decline in illegal logging households. That's like unheard of in the conservation world. And people were moving. They didn't have to pay for healthcare. They could access it by paying with non-cash means in our clinic. And they got really high quality, excellent care. And they were learning a new, really sustainable livelihood that they wanted. But then we had a problem because it went from there being no price for manure in any of the villages and no one even knew you could do anything with it to not enough manure. In fact, people were hoarding it. So we radically listened again. We talked to people, what do we do? And we decided to distribute goats. Well, who are we going to distribute them to? Well, we're going to give them to the people who are the most disadvantaged. Because you don't want to favor one group or another, but if you choose the people who need it the very most, these are the widows. And they're not always old people. A lot of them are young women, and they often have very, very few choices. And they can't send their children to school often. But by giving them goats, we give them a mated pair, and then they have to return a goat that we give to another widow. So it's this, you know, continuously expanding program. And then they sell the manure to the farmers. And so it's just been this wildly successful part of the program.
But goats for widows. Unbelievable. You know, this project, we're going to take a break, but this project really interests me because it seems to bring together two things. To say you're working on the environment over there in Indonesia means the land as well as the people who live in on that land in this rainforest. So you're affecting, it strikes me, the real ecology of that place in the broadest sense of that word. I think just hearing this is a way to make people understand what this calling is about. We're going to keep telling stories. We're going to open the phones later in the show. An amazing thing. Health in Harmony. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back. I'm Faith Middleton. My guests are Dr. Kinnery Webb, founder of the Indonesian nonprofit project Health in Harmony. That is at our website right now if you want more information, WNPR.org, The Faith Middleton Show. The organization works on saving the Indonesian rainforest and improving the lives of people who live on or near this land. My other guests are Dr. Thomas Duffy and Dr. Kathleen White of Yale. We're in the midst of this election when people are shouting about what needs fixing in America, and we're trying to understand why some, if not many, Americans are inspired to help in countries beyond our borders. Can any of the candidates in this election talk frankly about this? Do we hear this as a topic of conversation? Do we grasp that the world is now a global village? The Gates Foundation gets that, pouring money into international aid. So that's what we're talking about here on the Faith Middleton Show. And in a little bit, we're going to open the phone so that if you support a project in another country, you can tell us what inspires you to do so. So here's the thing. So we talked about Goats for Widows. We talked about your radical listening in this place. Dr. White, would you, I know that you supervise the medical students from Yale going back and forth. Dr. Duffy, you've all been on the board here of this organization telling these stories. It's amazing to hear. You made a point with me, Dr. White, that I thought was so interesting and valuable about there being a difference in something like this and a kind of help where people show up, do things, and then disappear. It's not that that isn't valuable for a time, but it's not sustainable.
Yes, I think what's remarkable about what Kinnery has created and why I'm so attracted to it is that I've been always involved in global health, have done stints of going and taking care of people in other countries, other continents. And it's been very exciting and interesting, and I've always come away with a great deal more knowledge than I left behind. But what I left behind was healthcare. I didn't leave behind anything sustainable. I might have left behind 6 months of blood pressure pills until the next doctor came or the next nurse practitioner. But what Kinnery has achieved is sustainability. We go there, and we don't take care of patients. We consult. We teach the Indonesian doctors and trainees from other parts of the world about how to take care of patients, and we learn from them. I think one of the most remarkable things is our sending our medical students and our residents there without the ability to diagnose with MRIs and CT scans or x-rays, very few lab tests work in the clinic. And they learn how to take care of patients with histories and physicals. And they learn to make differential diagnosis and patient-centered decisions with physical and history. And that's what I think we all need globally. We need that in New Haven. We need that in this country. So going and taking care of people is a wonderful thing, but going and teaching people how to take care of themselves, how to do their own living, how to be healthy and live in healthy environments is what I think is most attractive about this. I also want to say that what Kinnery has achieved in Indonesia is only the first of what we hope will be a very replicable model for other parts of the world, including the United States.
This is a kind of radical look at what healthcare and environmental care can be like in communities. Don't you think, Dr. Duffy?
Well, I think it's contained in what the organization calls itself, Health in Harmony. There is so much harmony on so many levels in this particular initiative. I'd ask Kinnery to tell us about a discovery where there was harmony found that nobody really anticipated. But following its discovery, it makes such extraordinary sense. The doctoral thesis of one of the students, an anthropology student from Yale.
Yeah, so this is actually, this was very helpful to me. We knew about it, but the student who came out and did this research, it helped even more. There's a way that, a cultural way that the community there understands damaging the forest. And they love the forest, they see it as their mother, but they also understand that if they hurt it, they can get sick. This is kind of a spiritual understanding of it. They call it kanabadi. But there is... But there's also some scientific evidence that kind of supports that cultural understanding. There's, for example, there's data that shows that logged forest has as much as 368 times higher rate of malaria-carrying mosquitoes than unlogged forest. So it's entirely possible it really is, that if you cut the forest, it does damage your health. And I love it that they culturally understand this.
That's so interesting. I keep from doing the research about health and harmony, I've been thinking of ways that we could apply this kind of system here in America, in our small communities, in our major cities, even at places like Yale. What do you both think, Dr. White and Dr. Duffy?
Faith, there's already a small project that I know of. I don't know if it's still going on, but the bakery in on Grand in Fairhaven, am I allowed to say the name? The Ciabatta Bakery.
Sure.
Was sending their heat from their ovens into a greenhouse so that patients at the Fairhaven Clinic could grow, who were at risk for diabetes, could grow green vegetables there. So that heat was being dissipated into a greenhouse where families, parents with this propensity for diabetes, could come with their children and grow vegetables and use them to help their health.
At the Fairhaven Community Health Clinic.
So I think, and I can remember my medical students at one time wanting to deliver food to the local library so that inner city people could get produce. At that time, we didn't have a good supermarket in New Haven.
So you could put together reading?
And coming for your food and come to the library and get it. It has happened somewhere else in the country, and our medical students wanted to try that.
Well, there's also, I think, the anticipation that one might exchange health care for saving the dolphins. I mean, another precious natural resource. If fracking were not as attractive as it appears to be now, perhaps there would be a commitment by a community that they would stop fracking in exchange for medical care, because many of these peoples are making those decisions that are financial. So I think it is a replicative model. And
is this something that a public health programs, there's one at Yale, there are others around the country, are they open to this? Are they in the forefront of something like this? Or is this a radical idea at this point?
I think Kinnery is in the forefront.
I feel uncomfortable with that. I don't feel like it's... I started this project, but I haven't done it on my own. It's been an amazing group of people. And, you know, we have 101 staff in Indonesia, one of whom is a Westerner. All the rest are Indonesians. I feel like I'm learning more from this community and... They are teaching the world, and they are ready to teach the world, and they have something to teach us. And I think that it's very important that we recognize how much this is, you know, we have a lot to learn from the developing world, a lot, about community, about how to work together. And this concept of radical listening, the people who are experiencing a problem can tell you exactly not only what the problem is, but how to solve it. The reason they haven't solved it is because they can't. If they could, they would have already done so.
Is this because it's a small place? I mean, I think...
No,
look,
I think that's true everywhere.
I was going to ask you, because we're in the middle of this election. I think about these politicians who have already been in office. They have town hall meetings, and people show up, and they talk, and they listen. You know, what is the difference? Is it possible to do this quote-unquote radical listening in a big, big place?
Absolutely. I mean, I think if you were to really talk, I mean, the class issues in this country and, I mean, the poverty issues, sit down with a whole bunch of homeless people and ask them, what is the best way to solve this problem? And I will bet you anything, they will give you creative, perfect answers.
So let me ask you, Dr. White, and Dr. Duffy too, all of you, in fact, why do medical students, I mean, you don't have enough spots for the number of medical students who want to do this. They want to go to Health and Harmony's project and other projects too and take these positions in Indonesia. Why do they want to do it?
That's probably a very personal
so there are
decision
a
for
reasons.
Many, but I think the chance to go and give health care in an underdeveloped place and learn from the people there, learn tropical medicine, learn how they do it by the seat of their pants is very attractive. Also, I think students love to travel, but many of them don't travel on the way to or from. They come right back to class and leave right from classes.
So what about you, though? So let me see what happens when I do that with you.
Okay.
You said you've been involved in this kind of global work. You know, here you are, an internist. Why do you do it? Why does this call to you?
Because I see it as something that we can all learn from. And it's to me, it's invigorating. I learn so much more. I take back so much more. I feel better about the world when I come home and I see that other people live in a way that isn't, that we don't even try to achieve. We need to be more simple. And I think that our going and listening to these people makes them see that they have a lot of answers and they don't need to try to model our society that's not quite healthy. So it's just always been my passion, if that's too simple a word, to go to places and work with people. And when I heard about Kinnery and how it was this bigger thing of a win-win situation, it's my new calling.
So Dr. Duffy and Kinnery, do you find that when students first come from a place like Yale, is there an adjustment? Of course, there's a cultural adjustment, but is there an adjustment in terms of that thinking where I am here to teach you people?
Yes.
How do
No doubt about it. They show up thinking they're going to help, but quite soon they learn, oh, actually, I'm learning way more. And they are, but you know what? It's about healing on all sides. It's about...
What does that mean?
It's about healing your own soul. It's about healing the planet. It's about working together for true health. I don't know if that makes sense, but...
I think you're describing what we call the come to Jesus moment, really. and so what makes you say that? You look shy from having said that, but I you don't need to, because I really respect what you're saying. I'm trying to get you to explain what you mean.
My salvation lies in your salvation. I don't mean that in a spiritual sense, although I think it's true also in a spiritual sense, not in a religious sense, right? It doesn't matter to me what path you use to get to the divine. But a sense of our own, all of our well-beings are interconnected on the most fundamental level. And when we begin to understand that, and like when I said, communities know what the solutions are, but they haven't solved them because they can't. They can't because they are missing some resource or some knowledge that in my experience is often excess in another part of the world. And then when you can bring those two things together, you create magic. You create this synergy where we can solve the problems that this planet faces. And we have to be honest, right? We have to look at this planet and the situation we are in and understand that we are in a dire situation. Population growth, destruction of our environment, climate change, we are very likely looking at only something like 30 years on this planet to figure out how we can live sustainably. And if we don't figure it out, we are likely looking at massive population crash. I'm sorry to say that, and it's scary, and people don't usually talk that way, but it's the truth. But I have seen, I know it, I have seen it, that win-win solutions are possible. And that we can, if we work together, find ways to really have a beautiful, sustainable, good future where all of us are healthy and happy.
Let me get you all to jump in on this. Dr. Kinnery Webb, talking right now, founder of the Indonesia nonprofit project called Health in Harmony. It's at our website right now, the Faith Middleton Show, WNPR.org. Jump in on this, because as you're telling this moving story, I'm thinking to myself, all the money that we spend on projects around the world, this sense that we cannot cure poverty, that we cannot in the end help as many people as we want, that for all that money spent, not enough has been accomplished. That's the line. And yet we have Kinnery Webb here saying what she says in this most inspiring and moving way. How do those things fit together for you, Dr. Duffy?
Well, that's a very big question. I may return back to the question that you initially asked with regard why medical students and why are they invested in this. And I agree with what Kathleen has said in terms of what it is they will learn, a sense of adventure. But I have, a conception of medical students as individuals who actually do want to live lives beyond the ordinary, that this is a group of young people who are truly idealistic, not only with regard to caring for their patients, but I also think for caring for others in the world. They're remarkably generous people. And I think that this is what attracts the young people to initiatives such as this. And I believe that we perhaps don't capitalize upon the richness, the energy of those individuals in establishing solutions in Marshall Islands.
Hang on right where you are. My guests are going to stay here. We're going to open the phones to you. If you volunteer or support an international project, what calls to you? Why are you inspired to go beyond our borders to help? 203-776-WNPR, and we will be right back. I'm Faith Middleton. Thank you so much for listening, especially on Election Day. Thank you so much to our producers, Jonathan McNichol and Lori Mack. Here's what we're doing. I'm in the studio with Dr. Kinnery Webb, who's founder of this Indonesia nonprofit. It's called Health in Harmony, and it combines protecting the Indonesian rainforest and improving the lives of people who live on or near the land. So health in ecology, ecology in that holistic sense. It's remarkable what they're doing. Also joining us, Dr. Tom Duffy and also Dr. Kathleen White of Yale University. They've been on the board of this nonprofit. We're getting at why people feel called to do work outside our borders. We like the contrast of this topic on Election Day because we think candidates have been fearful about talking about this kind of thing. We see candidates who say it's time to look inward. We understand there's a lot of fear out there because of economic circumstances. So we like this topic for today. Just as we go to the phones, I wanted to ask you, Kinnery, how do you answer that immense question that I asked Dr. Duffy? We see too much money that's been spent without enough results. That's the deal. I mean, billions and billions and billions of dollars. And yet you're talking about your project. The success of this in Indonesia is stunning. So how do you answer this question if people say, well, that's great for that community, but that can't be blown up to
yes, it can.
Yes, it can.
I mean, I think what we did different is we asked people. And we truly, we put the money exactly where it should go. We weren't a solution looking for a problem. We were asking the communities, how do we fix this? And they told us, and they were right. They were exactly right. I mean, in the conservation world, a 68% decline in illegal logging households in the first 5 years is just unheard of.
And they said, we'll stop that, but we want health care.
Yeah.
They wanted to trade health care. They also, you have a system, it's not pay to play. What is that system where you say to people, well, if you don't have money for these medical services, you can trade something that you do have?
That's right. So you can trade seedlings, you can trade manure, although like this thing, they paid with manure a lot in the beginning, and then later on everyone wanted it for their own farms. And then they paid with beautiful hand-woven mats and things like that that we sell.
We're talking about human dignity.
That's exactly right. Okay. It's about human dignity.
Let's take a call. Sarah, welcome to our show on why we are called to support international work. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi, Sarah.
Thanks for my call. I'm working currently on off-grid decentralized energy poverty, electrification specifically in Uganda. And I got involved because my daughter, when she graduated from high school, wanted to go work in an AIDS orphanage. And we selected Uganda and we went there. And we kept meeting people who said, we just want lighting. We want some help. We have all these upper respiratory infections. We need, we're spending all this money. And so we started a program where we're trying to replace kerosene lights with solar. And it just makes so much sense to work on this. And so she's working in her university, and we're listening to the friends that we made there a couple summers ago, and we've been back. And
so like Kinnery's story, they told you what they needed, it sounds like.
Exactly. And so we've been raising some money, but we don't tell them what lights to buy. We ask them what's available locally. Right. How do we stimulate local economy? And then, they're mostly, we're targeting students and AIDS widows and the homebound elderly. And the homebound elderly was really the biggest surprise for me, that, you know, there's all these people who are handicapped and can't get out and are living in these fairly desperate situations. But so it's there are little things, and people here will say to us often, well, why aren't you, fixing the homeless problem here? And I mean, one of my answers is always, well, no individual is going to do everything. And working together, we are in a global community, and we really, if we care for one another, we can find small impacts and that can often make big changes in people's lives.
Sarah, it also sounds like this is quite a project for you and your daughter to do together. That strikes me that must be so wonderful.
It is great.
Yeah. Thank you so much for calling the show.
Okay.
Really appreciate it. But Kinnery Webb, there is, I know you have a project going now to create an actual hospital there, because not only, as Dr. Duffy said, and Dr. White, you said that there's not a, there aren't CT machines, there aren't MRIs, and there's not a hospital. You have a few rooms there right now, and I see a drawing. You've had architects come forward and volunteer their work, and they have drawn a plan. So you have a whole plan for this, and now you're raising funds to build an actual hospital in this community.
Yeah, surgery is still one of the drivers of logging, so it's really important that we address that issue.
Meaning that they continue to log to get money to afford an operation.
That's right, because we can't provide surgeries in our little tiny, tiny, tiny clinic. It's, our listeners cannot hear, don't know how small the space is, but just a few feet by a few feet, we have like 7 people working in this tiny space. It's crazy how crammed our clinic is, and we can't see as many patients as who need to be seen. So, and the communities have been asking for a hospital from the very beginning, and we said, we hear you, we just can't provide that right away, but we'll work on it, and we're working on it. And the other thing is that it looks like it will be financially sustainable for the long run, so we're very excited about that.
How, though, describing the trading of...
Well, it looks like we're going to be able to sign up with the... Indonesian healthcare system, so like that we will actually be able to do their insurance system. So But even so, a lot of people come in from farther away and they're paying higher prices. And for really high quality care, people will pay. Although, you know, the average cost for us to actually see a patient is $8 a patient. It's not very much money. And patients from villages that are not doing any logging are only paying $1 or $2. So it's not a huge cost. And even with that, it's financially sustainable.
Amazing thing you have done. Health in Harmony is what this project is called. And we open the phones to you at 203-776-9677. We have Health in Harmony posted at our website. And we're asking you, in a time when significant numbers of people are looking inward, why are others called to do international work, whether as a paid person, as a volunteer? The people in the room here are volunteers for such a long time. Kristen, Faith Middleton, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks very much. I really applaud all the efforts that everyone puts into all of these organizations and causes. And I don't know whether it's hitting me because it is election day, but I'm wondering a little bit similar to one of the other questions, and that is, have any of you panelists done any work in the U.S.? I know you're all focused ex-U.S., and I don't know, when you talk about the hospitals and people trying to get into the clinics, you know, my husband is a doctor in Hartford, and he doesn't have the resources to see all the folks that want to come to his clinic, and I don't want to sound so U.S.-focused. I do realize it's a global economy, but I just open that up to see what work has been done in the U.S. by the group.
Yeah, thank you so much. I listen to you talk about radical listening. I listen with such compassion. You know, these are problems to different degrees and sometimes so similar around the world.
And it is so sad that the richest country in the world cannot provide health care for all of its citizens.
I have not been involved in projects in America. Quite frankly, I've been very busy, probably like her husband, delivering health care in this local community and teaching. And so I have not extended, but I would certainly think that the many students that we have trained have addressed that problem on many different levels.
Well, here we are, you know, facing this question. Of course that question comes up. Why are you not doing this work in the United States? You know, someone else made the comment on the show earlier that there are many needs. It's now a global village, this world we live on. The world is flat, is how it's put. And so there are many hands. There's a lot of work to be done. And some are called to one kind of work while others are called to another. Certainly there are many people working within the United States on all of these projects. Debbie, Faith Middleton, and the gang, thanks for joining us. Go ahead, Debbie.
Hi. Yeah, I think the work sounds extraordinary that you're doing, and it sounds like a model that everyone can learn from. And I was, one of my questions, which I think you answered, was what is on the horizon for you? And I guess you're building a hospital. And the other is, I'm not part of the medical community, but I was wondering how somebody can get involved in the way of support, donation or supporting what you're doing, both on a small and larger level.
So we have, of course, we know that we're going to get this question, and so we've posted a link to Health in Harmony on our website. So if you just go to WNPR.org, the Faith Middleton Show, it will take you straight to my guest, Dr. Kinnery Webb. Also on the board here, these members, Dr. Kathleen White and Dr. Tom Duffy of Yale. Thank you so much for your interest, and I'm sure...
Can I answer?
Great.
Thank you so much for that great question. So the question of, like, where are we going in the future? So when I talk about building that hospital, it's about building a training center for scaling up, for replication. But I also just want to point out that just one site, the amount of carbon in the national park where we work is the same amount if we were to lose all of that carbon, like we were to log it and then it were to burn, that is the same amount of carbon as all of the carbon emissions from San Francisco for 14 years. One site. When we think about working internationally, it's incredibly important that we think about protecting these rainforests. They are important for the health of the whole planet. And we will be scaling up. We will doing multiple sites.
When you say, multiple sites duplicating this one in Indonesia.
Yeah.
Okay. Adam, Faith Middleton and company, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you very much for having me on.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm a pediatrician at Connecticut Children's Medical Center in Hartford, Connecticut. I specialize in pediatric critical care and emergency medicine, and I'm involved in a couple projects down in Haiti. And I also had the pleasure of hearing Dr. Webb speak at the American Academy of Pediatrics conference out in San Diego last month, and just so impressed with the work that she's doing. And you know, I'm looking to try to integrate some of the concepts that she's talked about as far as the sort of very active listening and trying to better understand the people that we're working with in Haiti.
That's great. What are you doing there?
I'm involved in two projects, one in Port-au-Prince as a volunteer and recruiting other volunteers to come down to work at the Hospital Bernard Meves in Port-au-Prince, which is really the only pediatric critical care facility in all of Haiti. And I'm also involved in a quality improvement project up in Cape Haitian at Justinian University Hospital, which is the only public teaching hospital up in Cape Haitian, and we're working on reducing neonatal and newborn mortality.
Way to go!
And thank you.
And why do you do it?
You know, I went down to Haiti in the aftermath of the earthquake in 2010, and you know, I was just astounded at the degree of poverty and the sort of healthcare inequality that existed so close to America. You know, it's 1.5-2 hours from Miami Beach, and it is just astounding to see really how tough things are down there. Mm-hmm. And I felt that this was something that I could do. I had skills. I had the opportunity to go down, and that it was something that I was sort of I owed them.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your call.
Thank you.
That means
well
a lot.
Said.
Thank you. 203-776-9677. I was looking at what's been written about the work you do with children. There was a comment that the children, even though they live right there in the national rainforest, the children have never been in the state park that is the National Rainforest. And so am I correct that your organization arranged for them to go see their own and the world's natural resource?
Yeah, it's really quite amazing. It's very sad that many of the young kids in our villages don't know that orangutans only occur on the islands of Borneo and Sumatra, and how threatened they are and how precious they are. And just being able to see that and being able to understand how amazing what they have is gets these kids so excited. And they, you know, they were already passionate about protecting the future, but now they're like...
I think one of the most exciting days for my husband was when he went to give toothbrushes to the children. They taught them to brush their teeth, but they couldn't have a toothbrush unless they gave 10 bamboo poles to use as stakes for each little sapling. It was his most exciting day, next to Goats for Widows Day.
Oh, that is so great. Thank you all so much for the work you do. Dr. Kinnery Webb, thank you so much. Health in Harmony at our website right now, WNPR.org. A great conversation, Dr. Duffy and Dr. White, especially on Election Day. As always, this show is about the richness of life. You can find all the things we talk about, including recipes, wine, and cocktails, at foodschmooze.org. In New Haven, I'm Faith Middleton.